Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 9 today, Jesus performs a miracle by first saying to the paralytic, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And when Jesus says these gracious words, they utterly astound all the people who hear them. Because people in those days didn't talk like that. Certainly the scribes and the Pharisees did not talk like that. Nobody presumed to pronounce the forgiveness of sins upon anybody. And that was for two reasons. Because in those days, there was both an undervaluing and an overvaluing of sin. Now that may seem absurd, but listen to me. There was an undervaluing of the biblical doctrine of original sin. That everyone is conceived and born in sin and is by nature under the wrath of God and an enemy of God, and that everyone therefore needs to be redeemed by a holy atonement. But original sin and the original corruption of our human nature in the fall of Adam and Eve was undervalued. At the same time, many particular sins were overvalued to the point where it became a national pastime to basically lump people into negative categories. That person's a dirty sinner. We'll give that guy half a pass. And that guy's, he's a Samaritan. Right? And so on and so forth it went. And especially with the scribes and the Pharisees, they were not big on telling people their sins were forgiven. They were big on making a big deal out of certain kinds of sin, right? Even though they denied the power of original sin. And this is kind of sensible, because if you undervalue the power of original sin, you can then develop a theology which makes you look good because of your efforts. But if you believe, as the scriptures say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me." If you believe that, well, there's no way that you can by your works justify yourself. Because if you were conceived and shapen in iniquity, how are you going to justify yourselves by your efforts? But if you undervalue original sin and you overvalue certain particular sins, then you can make yourself look pretty good, especially when you make other people look bad. Right? So everything's kind of crazy. And in the midst of this thing, Jesus comes along and says to this poor victim of paralysis, "Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when everybody starts to murmur and complain, he says, all right. He says, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? But that you, and this is the punchline of the whole story. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. So notice this. Jesus performs the impressive and stupendous miracle as a way of pointing out and proving that he has the power and authority on earth to forgive sins. And he says, the Son of, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. That is, God who has become incarnate and is the God-man here on earth. True God and true man. This one has power or authority on earth to forgive sins. And that's why he went to the cross. He went to the cross to pay for the sins of the world and to then achieve redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal salvation for every sinner, and to send his church into the world with the authority to forgive sins on earth. And so, this passage in which Jesus, by a miracle, proves that he has the authority to forgive your sins on earth, in the next few chapters, in Matthew chapter 16, he's talking to Peter, and he says to Peter, he says, I will give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now you might be tempted to say, well, that was only Peter, right? That's only Peter. Well, we have to skip ahead to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, the exact same thing that he said to Peter in chapter 16, in chapter 18, he says to all of them, verily I say unto you, plural, whatsoever ye, plural, shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye, plural, shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here you see that Christ has given to his church to be exercised by means of his ministers the absolution, the forgiveness of sins. And as if to underscore it, I know now for you sophisticated Lutherans, I don't need to underscore it. It's almost like beating a dead horse. But bear with me because it's comforting to hear it. All right? Jesus says to his disciples, this is the risen Christ on Easter evening appearing to his disciples, and he says this, he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. In other words, he compares the apostolic ministry of the church to his own ministry of redemption and salvation. Just as he was sent by my Father, so it is that he sends his church into the world. And listen to what he says after he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Ghost. He says this, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Right? So this is what we call the power of the keys, which the church administers through its called ministers. And it is the power to forgive and to retain sins. And it is in the name and by the authority of Jesus Christ that the absolution is pronounced to those who are penitent. To remit sins means to forgive them or send them away. And to retain sins means that they are not forgiven, but that they continue to stick to the person who has them. Whose sins are to be forgiven? Those who are penitent. Those who confess their sins and are penitent. Whose sins are to be retained? Those who refuse to repent. Those who remain in impenitence and in impenitence deny the word of God, these are to have their sins retained. Now, why am I talking about this morning? Because the overall theme of today's day in the church year is about the authority to forgive sins. And as a Christian, there is no more important thing that can happen to you than that your sins be forgiven. Now, in the story, you know, people were impressed by the miracle that Jesus did. He healed the paralytic. And in certain circles in the Christian church today, that's what people really want. And they endeavor to gin up all kinds of fake miracles in order to try to achieve what the apostles seem to have achieved in the church of the New Testament, because they undervalue the forgiveness of sins and they overvalue the bestowal of temporal blessings. And so this lesson here is meant to show us, as great as it is to be healed of paralysis, it is far greater to have your sins forgiven. Because you can be a perfectly sound and healthy human being and still perish everlastingly in hell. But if your sins are forgiven, even if your body is smitten with every form of trouble, your soul is ready for the life everlasting, and you have the assurance of the grace and power of God to bring you through the grave and the gate of death to the presence of Jesus, where there is fullness of joy forever. And so, as a congregation, today we are being invited to rejoice in the superlative gift of gifts, which is redemption and the forgiveness of sins, and to value very highly the authority that Jesus Christ Himself has given to His church, so that the church, through its called ministers, forgives and retains sins with the power and authority of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.